Welcome back to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquis Munson taking care of us. Now switch modes to NASCAR. It was a big weekend in NASCAR. Kevin Harvick obviously owning the weekend. We have Daniel McFadden of NASCAR and NBC joining us. Daniel, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. First time. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So let's look at this weekend, too. Does this weekend cement Kevin Harvick as just one of the best, and especially this season as one of those guys that's obviously favored? Because what a weekend for him.
Oh, no. He's definitely one of the favorites this year. He solidified that he's the man to beat, at least at Michigan. He's now won four of the last five races at that two-mile track. And, yeah, he just absolutely dominated, won three of the four stages, and had the car to beat, but, you know, barely held off his rival for this season, Denny Hamlin, by 0.093 seconds there at the finish. So it was still interesting, even though looking at the numbers, it looks like he just, you know, ran away with it. Mm-hmm. But it was a very entertaining weekend. It wasn't a ho-hum doubleheader weekend, which is just the second doubleheader weekend we've ever gotten in the Cup Series. Sure. When it comes to racing at one track in one weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, Kevin Harvick, six wins, Denny Hamlin with five. What is it about Harvick so far this season that has made him so special? It's just they have a great car going for them. What has made him be the top of the line right now?
Part of it is that car. That car he raced this weekend, he's only raced it three times this year, and he's won in all three races with it, including the Brickyard 400 and the two races this weekend. But him and Rodney Childress, his crew chief, are just the class of – they've been the class of the field, really, for, like, the last 3 years. I mean, they have almost 18 wins together in that time. And it's Harvick's experience. He's 44 years old, and he's performing pretty much the best that he has in a 20-year career in the Cup Series. Right now it's Harvick, it's Hamlin, and, you know, Brad Keselowski is like a distant third, but he's there.
And one thing we saw during this race was code words. Eric Almirola with code words saying hot dog in the that's not the right one. What is the meaning behind these? I'm sure the meaning is they don't want other crew chiefs to hear what's going on. But it shows the importance of communication between teams, I'm sure, when things were getting started. Just what was that whole situation like as you were taking it in?
Code words are fairly common. And right there with that news, miscommunication with his crew chief, hot dog was meant for him to come into the pit, but he either didn't hear the code word or just got confused, and so he stayed out. And it actually kind of benefited him for a little bit. He got the lead over Harvick, and he actually got to hold off Harvick on older tires. But the code words, you'll see Brad Keselowski do that over the years. He's, you know, his crew's been over here heard saying, this will be a Miller Lite pit stop or something like that. So sometimes the code words are related to sponsors, and like Almirola, hot dog is related to Smithfield, which makes, you know, produce meat and sells meat. So it is very important. You don't want your other teams to know what your strategy is going to be, whether you're going to take two tires, four tires, fuel only. So any advantage you can get, you'll take. So it's a very there's lots of games being played over team radios over the course of a race.
Yeah, it reminds me, especially in football, we see these big signs get held up on the sidelines of logos or cartoons.
Yeah.
people trying to decipher that. So one of the big things we saw, because we saw it in the All-Star race at Bristol, but the choose rule coming in, and for folks that don't know what that is, the final lap of the caution before the restart, having to choose the inside or the outside, and it looked like it made the race a lot more exciting and putting a lot of risk-reward on the drivers and their teams on choosing what they're going to do with this, and it turned into some exciting racing as well. What are your thoughts on that choose rule and being implemented in the middle of the season like this, and just how it turned out?
When the first murmurs of the choose rule being brought or the campaigning to bring it up to the Cup level started, I questioned it because I was kind of confused by it. But now that it's been used, I get it. And I like it. It made Saturday's race very interesting. For my money, it made that race the most entertaining and interesting Michigan race in years. I don't know whether it was the combination of that, the shortened race, another one thing that I've thought Michigan races needed to be shortened for a long time. The combination of those two things, the package, whatever, it worked. It gives drivers who are slightly farther back from the front a chance to compete for the lead. We saw Chase Elliott do it once Saturday. Mm-hmm. He went from, like, I believe fifth when they were single file to, you know, first on the inside row, second place. And he took the lead from Harvick, and he held it for, I believe, 9 laps until there was a caution. So it has the potential to change, to be a game changer within a race, that you to change a narrative that just wouldn't have happened otherwise. Like, we saw Bubba Wallace slowly work his way up to the front, partially thanks to the choose rule. He restarted second on the inside row, in the second row at one point, and made a daring move to the outside to try to challenge for the lead, and it didn't quite work, and he fell back. But Bubba Wallace wouldn't have had that chance without the choose rule.
Absolutely right. As again, Daniel McFadden joining us from NASCAR on NBC. And looking at the playoff race here, it is a big playoff race. Some names that are just outside that playoff bubble. Young guy like Tyler Reddick, who has been pretty hot and fun to watch. Then you have the veteran like Jimmy Johnson just sitting outside. Do you think it's a possibility either those two make it in, or is it pretty set right now?
Ask me again after this weekend. ask me again after turn one of the Daytona Road Course. Because this weekend is such a curveball. It is such a wild card. It's a circuit that, for the most part, most of the field has not competed on. And if they have, it's been years. Some of them have competed on it in the Rolex 24 race there. Kyle Busch did back in January. But some of them haven't competed on it since there was an IROC race there back in, like, the late 2000s, mid-2000s. And they're not practicing. There's no qualifying. It's get in the car, do your pace laps, green flag drop, and hold your breath.
For a road race, especially.
A road race, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not like the Roval of 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they got multiple practice sessions, and then they went, and it was a pretty uneventful, first stage. They kind of knew what they were dealing with, but that's not going to be the case now. And you're also throwing in a chicane, a brand new chicane on that course coming out of turn four, which they implemented because of speed concerns. They come out of the bus stop on the backstretch, and then they just go full bore through turns three and four on the oval. Then you go through the tri-oval, and then you have to slow down from nearly 200 miles per hour going into turn one. So that's why they were introducing that chicane. So, and no one's going to have any practice with that. So I wish they were practicing. They're not. And it's going to be probably the most interesting first lap that we've seen in NASCAR, maybe in my time covering the sport.
Well, I'll be looking at your Twitter then to see what you say after turn one to see who you predict is going to make the playoffs, and it'll be so interesting. Well, Daniel, we appreciate the time and talking to us and just giving us a little bit of more NASCAR talk here on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks, guys. And you guys can watch NBC's coverage of the races, Xfinity and Cup, this weekend on NBCSN. The Cup race will start at 3 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be here.
All right, Daniel McFadden, NASCAR on NBC. covers the sport there, and very interested to see what happens there. Joe, you covered some races at Michigan Speedway before, right?
Absolutely. You know, the Kevin Harvick, that's one of those sobering details, his age, because actually I wrote a piece about the young guns, including him, at Michigan. So I'm trying to remember what year that would have been, but so you're talking like, whew, yeah. So he was 20-something then. You know, that was the youth movement in NASCAR. But, yeah, it's – I mean, the scene there – for anyone who hasn't been to a NASCAR race, it is really unlike anything else, and pretty incredible stuff. And that sport, as far as availability, and I know at the time, and it's been a long time for me, but among the best out there in terms of, yeah, come to the garage and hang out and talk and be open, and which is something all sports should aspire to be like.
Go figure, my first race trying to go to last year was at Talladega, and then it got rain delayed after stage one.
Oh, man.
And had to go home because I had to work the next day. So I wasn't even able to finish my first race.
So you got there. You got some of the experience.
Yeah, one stage of experience. and it hooked me. It hooked me even more. It made me want to go to more races to experience it. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then a pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to switch back to NHL. Scott Wheeler, the Athletic, is going to join us to talk about the NHL Draft Lottery, what we could look at for the Nashville Predators to pick in the draft, picking 11th. Up next, Morning Drive, Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game.